Are you ready for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to clinch the NFC South crown, to wear the hats, to wear the shirts, to celebrate with 65,000 fans, a sea of red inside Raymond James Stadium? Are you ready? I am, and I'm ready to give you everything I've seen at One Buck Place. I'm going to give you the breakdown. I'm going to bring on my rock lister. I got an A-lister. His name is Evan Klosky. He's the sports director of the CBS affiliate here in Tampa Bay, Channel 10 WTSP. Why? Because he hosts The Blitz. It's a weekly show with the great Simeon Rice. What does Simeon Rice think of this Buccaneer defense, of the GOAT, of the offense, trying to repeat? They were not able to repeat. Hell, they couldn't even get to the playoffs after winning the Super Bowl. And so Evan will join me in just a little bit. I'm going to break it all down, what I've seen inside One Buck, how things have changed, how, what's going on with Sean Payton out, everything, the changes, Alvin Kamara, Ingram, my God. It's a great day to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan and an NFL fan as this regular season is winding down. Hey, this Bucs Kickoff podcast is always brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford Tampa, located just a quarter of a mile right up the street on Dale Mabry from Raymond James Stadium. Remember Joe used to call it the Den of Depression? It ain't that anymore. You know, the home of the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where they played the Super Bowl? Yeah. Okay, now, Sean Sullivan is the GOAT of general managers. He is the GM of Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, the Ford family, the name, they're 60 years, that family name, going strong in business. BillCurryFord.com. Go there. You can call. You can email Sean Sullivan, their GM. When you go, you say, Rock Riley from Joe Bucks Fan told me, I need to talk with Sean Sullivan. You start at the top with the GOAT. He'll answer any question you may have, whether it's buying, great time, leasing, great time, or getting your vehicle serviced and done right. You don't want some jabroni working on your vehicle and you're going to break down? Go to Bill Curry Ford. It's BillCurryFord.com. They've got a Joe Bucks Fan discount. Make sure you tell him you heard it on Joe Bucks Fan. And a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Nobody does that. BillCurryFord.com. All right, let me get into this bad boy, the Buccaneers. It's going to be a night game. It's going to be crazy. We're not going to see what we saw with the Bills Mafia. Wait till I tell you all about that and what happened there. But that's for later in the podcast. I'm focusing on this game. Yeah, there'll be some Saints fans here, but it's not going to be a sea of blue. That's why Publix is giving out the red shirts. Even if you don't have a red shirt and you're going to the game, they're going to give it to you so that you're going to see a sea of red and get that home field advantage back. Buccaneers are favored by 11. Now, let's get right to it. Jamal Dean out. That means Carlton Davis and Sean Murphy Bunting are going to play corner. Sean Murphy Bunting, you did a hell of a job when you came back after that long absence. What's happened since? You've looked confused. Step it up. Let's go. It's time for you to step up in this game. Ross Cockrell is going to play when the Buccaneers are in nickel coverage. Now, on the Saints side, besides the Sean Payton story, this is the big one for me. The bookend offensive starting tackles, both are out. Teron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk. So that's the key right there. The Saints did activate running back Mark Ingram from that COVID reserve list, as well as defensive end Cam Jordan and wide receiver Ty Montgomery. Now, head coach Sean Payton, if you didn't hear, he got COVID again. So he is not going to be coaching in this game. Okay. Defensive coordinator Dennis Allen is going to take over the head coaching duties. That's not that big of a deal. All right. These are pros. They've been around. You're late in the season. They know what to do. That's kind of the overseer. But the offensive coordinator, Pete Carmichael, is going to call the plays. Now, if you're not aware, Carmichael has been installing the offense and the plays because, you know, Sean Payton, he's got a lot of duties as the head coach. So Carmichael is the one. He's been doing this for Bridgewater. Obviously, he's been doing it for Breeze, did it for Jameis. He's doing it for Taysom Hill. He installs the plays weekly. So it's not that much of a drop-off. Look, he's no Sean Payton. Sean Payton is a great offensive mind. He's his own man, so he's going to have a little bit of a different thing. And they've also changed their scheme a little bit. They did it, especially when they're running, against the Jets last week, and they actually started against the Dallas Cowboys. I'll get a little more into that as we roll on. I know you want to know about Antonio Brown and Edwards. Listen, Arian, I'm over there at $1. Arians has been aloof. He usually gives a really, he gives an answer. He doesn't usually hesitate. And he's like, I'll see, we'll see. Haven't made my decision yet. I'll make it either before the game or after the game. But here's the thing. It's for the fake vaccination cards. They served their 3-game suspension. When he was asked on Friday, is there something more that they have to do? And he said, no. And Antonio Brown, who loves to post on his social media, posted a very quick video, and it shows him inside that Advent Health Training Center facility. So if he's been in there, I was told that Edwards also posted something. That means that they are coming back. But you know what? They're not back for this game. So this is Bucks kickoff. So we're not talking about that right now. All right. Now the Saints, Alvin Kamara, he can hurt you with the run. He can hurt you catching the ball. His yards after the catch. You've got Ingram, and it's the two-headed back. This is big. Now, I know the Bucs have been good against the run, but if you look at it, the Bucs have always, oh, they're number one against the run. They're number three. They're now number three against the run. They haven't done as well lately. They really haven't. And with Ingram, 5 games back since that trade from the Texans, he is fourth on the Saints with total scrimmage yards, only behind Kamara and the wide receivers Deontay Harris and Marquez Callaway. So it's tough. All right, you know what? I'm going to get to my matchups right here. Let me get to them right here. But I will tell you this, with Kamara, this is very, very interesting. He had 27 carries last week against the Jets. He had 120 yards, 78 yards after contact. Most of Alvin Kamara's rushing yards last week were up the gut, up the middle. 16 of those 27 carries were with the man blocking scheme that the Saints are starting to employ now. Or to use. 8 were with zone blocking. So they've been changing it up a little bit. Matchup wise, everybody loves to see the Mike Evans, Marshawn Lattimore matchup. That's been a good one for the last couple of years. Evans has won a few. Lattimore has really won even more. That's a good one to watch. How about the Gronk versus Malcolm Jenkins matchup? Gronk, keep going to Gronk. Gronk, you got to go to Gronk, and the GOAT knows that. You know, over the middle, down the seam, so hard to bring down, looks like he's lumbering, he's faster and better than you think. Here's another one that I want to see. I want to see that Buccaneers D-line, that front, versus the backup Saints offensive tackles. Now, Martin Grammatica was with me on this Bucs kickoff last week, and if you missed it, and Martine had a great point. You know, everybody in the NFL, when you got an injury and you got a new guy coming in, and it's always, hey, next man up mentality. We don't care who it is in there, next man up. Well, Martine had a great point. He's like, there's a reason why you're a starter, and there's a reason why you're a backup. And when you're a backup, you're not as good as a starter. It's very simple. The starter gets paid a lot of money because he's damn good. And so you've got the Saints have 2 backup offensive tackles. So the Saints or the Bucs D-line, you should be able to take advantage of that. Shaq Barrett versus Ramchek's backup. Bowles has been moving Barrett around lately. Shaq Barrett's been pretty damn consistent. He really has. And I think Shaq Barrett is going to have a good night against the Saints. Brady has not looked that good. He's looked human. He has not looked like the GOAT against the Saints in these matchups. And he's up for MVP. He is very strong contention right now. He has a good game. He's going to need a good game because I know it does. It does matter to him deep down. Come on, man. 44 years old. You know he wants to be the MVP. So let's call it like it is. I know he's a team guy and he wants to see young guys succeed. And the ring is what's important. But he wants to be MVP. He hadn't said it. Aaron Rodgers is there again. Aaron Rodgers is going up against a bad defense in this week. So, GOAT. Oh, and GOAT, Ewan Perryman. Now, we found out that there was one-on-one work all last week prior to this last game. And he found Perryman, and it was a last-second thing. It was supposed to go to Evans, a pick play. He saw Perryman, boom. Perryman, go. What did Brady say? He said, I said, BP, go. BP, run. BP, run. And he also said he was doing an interview with Tracy Wolfson on the sideline after the game, and he's like, that'll give us some confidence. So, Perryman, there's a reason why you're there. You're taking away some reps from Scotty Miller. Arian says you're bigger, you're stronger, you block better. He just gives us more physicality. So I want to see more of that connection in this game. It's a hat and t-shirt game. Brady, 11, and the NFC champs, they can clinch it with this win. Brady this week said he went on and on about the Saints. Boy, he does study. Because when you ask him about the Saints, he just goes on and on. He knows every single player, what they're doing. It's incredible. And Brady just said 11-3 is better than 10-3. Now, something that was a little concerning to me, and we don't have as much access to practice. See, what's happening is, and I'm not getting into the whole COVID protocols and things have changed. You as a Bucs fan, do you care about that? What the media can and can't do at practice? So I'm not going to get into that. But Wednesdays now, they're normally like a good strong practice day. Same thing Thursday. I've been covering the NFL for a long time. This is the first team I've ever seen ever done this. But the Bucs have been ahead of the game with a lot of this stuff. They are now doing walkthroughs the rest of the year on a Wednesday. They don't do much. Brady wasn't practicing anyway, even though it was a walkthrough day on Wednesday. Then it comes out on Thursday. Right shoulder. That's the first that I've seen that. And we really didn't get, whoa. Now, Friday, he had full participation. So I would not be alarmed, but that's the first right shoulder arm deal that Brady has been listed. I'm hoping as we're getting later in the season, that's not the case. But he had full participation on Friday, so let's not get alarmed. All right, you know what? It's time now to bring in my rock lister. He is Evan Klosky, and like I say, he talks with Simeon Rice every single week on their TV show. So let's get a perspective. He's been nominated, man, Sage knows, for the Hall of Fame. He was great. As a pass rusher, he's the man, Simeon Rice. What does Simeon Rice think of this Buccaneer team? Let's get a perspective. Let's go to my rock lister. I talk with Evan at practice. Here you go. All right, with Evan Klosky. He is a sports director, the CBS affiliate, Channel 10, WTSP, and it's the Blitz with Simeon Rice weekly. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's pretty good there, Evan.
That's right. Simeon Rice every Sunday morning at 11:30, analysis from any game. And it's been fun to kind of break that show off for the first season here.
Yeah, he was great. We love covering him when he played for the Bucs. I'm curious, you know, for those that might not have seen every show, overall, what does he think of this Bucs defense this year, where we are?
You know what? Simeon has been telling us that it's been an up and down roller coaster for him, I think, especially when the injuries started happening. He was doubting these guys a little bit, but he's been really impressed with the ability for these players to come together and find a way to make things happen, especially how opportunistic they are with turnovers. If they're not going to get the stops, if the stats aren't going to look gaudy, getting the turnovers, and that's what this team's been doing.
What does Simeon say about the guys up front that, you know, they started out, they weren't getting sacks, they're getting more sacks, they're getting pressure, still could probably do better. How does he feel about that?
Yeah, I think it all comes down to Vita Vea. Simeon loves what Vita Vea does, and as somebody who has lived in the trenches, worked with Warren Sapp, right, having that guy right in the middle to make sure that he can stuff the run and he can just worry about what he's got to do. Let's get to the quarterback, make sure he fills in his fits. But beyond that, Vita Vea is the anchor. So we were a little worried when Vea went down there in Washington, but the fact is, as long as they have him, everything else is going to work as this team's getting healthier. So that's really the big thing that he emphasizes.
Now, one more on Simeon, and I do want to get your take. It's not just all Simeon, but you know, I mean, maybe
he's a bigger storyline than I am. Don't
he's
worry.
The man. What does he say about the GOAT and Tom Brady?
You know what? He gives him all the praise, and he says that no matter what, no matter how bad things are working, Tom Brady will forever be able to rise, make everybody rise to the occasion. So he is very impressed, and he says that actually affects the defense too. When they go out there and you have Tom Brady and you have a steady force like him, it also galvanizes that side of the ball as well. So, you know, Tom Brady does so much out there. He's a GOAT. We can all go through his resume, but his presence is really what makes this team gel, and he's been beyond impressed with what he's been able to do in such a quick time here in Tampa Bay.
Now, we're getting towards crunch time, end of the season, and, you know, some coaches, they'll look at it, maybe they know they're going to get in, they back in, and Arians is like, look, man, no, we want to try to win every game. They're going up against the Saints now in this one on Sunday night. Are they pretty much where you thought they would be at this time? Because you covered them last year in that that Super Bowl win.
Yeah, I think so. The fact is, I think they're doing a little bit better when you consider all the injuries they've had throughout this season, because I think early on it was very easy for this team to crumble, and they have not. They haven't had the toughest schedule. So for me, I said they were going to be 5 losses at the end of the year. So I really do think they're kind of looking in that range of where they're going to be, especially with what the schedule is looking like. The division's going to be sealed up. We think it's going to happen tonight, but regardless, or I should say, we think it's going to happen against the Saints. But having said that, I do believe that this team is right where they're going to be. They're getting healthy at the right time, and they will be peaking at the right time, very similarly to what we saw last year.
You know, it must be nice for you because, what, you got like, this is like your second year here, something like that, and, you know, Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the Lightning back-to-back, look what the Rays did. They were the organization of the year, and now you're covering the GOAT, a Super Bowl championship team. That's not too bad, Evan.
It's not too bad at all. Look, I am very lucky and fortunate and happy to be here in Tampa Bay. It's been unbelievable. This is the golden era of Tampa Bay sports. I mean, we're living in it right now with whatever we got here. I mean, all of our teams are super successful. And even though the Rays didn't make it to where we wanted to see them go, the fact is, each season is exciting. And if you would have went back maybe 5-6 years from now, what would we be saying? So it's like just the fact that it's turned on a dime and we have these teams doing so well for us, that's what it's all about. And that makes me excited. I mean, I love working because I love covering these teams, but I also love covering winners because they're happy. And if they're happy, I'm happy.
All right. So you'll be all over this game. I know the big game against the Saints. Once again, plug everything that you guys do with Ben and the crew, the Blitz guys.
Yeah. So again, the Blitz every Sunday at 11:30 in the morning with Simeon Rice. Not only do we give you analysis of the game, but we also have fun with Simeon. He breaks down fashion. We get him kind of breaking down sound bites that are very cliche. He also gets into cryptocurrency. So we have a lot of fun with Simeon. And then also, I mean, we cover all those teams that you mentioned on 10TampaBay.com. So we're here for you, and we're here to see this thing all the way to the end of the Super Bowl, right?
Awesome. Thanks, Ed.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, I appreciate that, Evan. And Simeon, tell Simeon we all said hello. We all like Simeon. Simeon's a good man. I talked to him at training camp. He actually is living in Arizona, so he does a lot of his stuff via satellite. And he's back now and then, so hopefully I'll be able to hook up with Simeon when he comes back here to Tampa Bay and also some of the other Buccaneer greats. Try to get them on here because we got a whole playoff run, right? All the way up until the Super Bowl at SoFi. All right, the Saints. Taysom Hill. Does he have pictures on Peyton or something? The amount of the contracts he keeps getting? Listen, here's how I look at it. Jameis Winston beat him out for the starting quarterback position. Case closed. Okay? That's it. So he's a gadget guy. He's good when he comes in. He's hard. You know, he can run. He can throw. He likes to roll out. Sean Payton and Carmichael, they like him to roll out. His arm is decent. He is hard to tackle. And when you combine that, though, that's what I'm saying. When you do combine that with Kamara and now Ingram, Ingram in the five games back, 233 yards, one rushing touchdown, 130 yards and 18 catches. So together, Ingram, Kamara, obviously, and Taysom Hill, that's dangerous. That's a dangerous threesome. The Saints defense, very good against the run. Something for the Saints, for the Bucs defense to look out for. The favorite play call really is the power. They're also the Saints, like I mentioned briefly at the top, they have been changing their philosophy in the run game. Now, the run game coordinator, Dan, what's his name? Dan, is it Richard? Anyway, he was on WWL radio in New Orleans with Bobby Hebert. And he kind of gave it away a little bit that they're changing a little bit. They want to run it. All right. They want to run it first. They want to create the play action. They want to have third and short. They've been bringing in the tight ends along with this Ethan Wolf, the younger guy, to block. They especially brought him in for blocking for Kamara. And they're doing more. They're changing their blocking scheme a little bit. Now, they started this against the Cowboys. They did a lot of this change against the Jets. Was it because of what they saw with the Jets defense, or are they changing their philosophy a little bit? They're running more man blocking scheme than zone. They ran it 44 times, 25 were man blocking, 13 were zone blocking. So, you know, and they started that against the Cowboys when Ingram was the lead back. That was when Kamara was out. But again, Kamara was back for this last game, and he's damn good. He's top, what do you think, top three backs in the NFL, Alvin Kamara? Now, what about the Saints' defense? Sacks, not typical of the Saints. They are ranked 19th in the NFL in regards to getting sacks. They have had injuries. Cam Jordan had COVID, but you know what? They're pretty healthy on defense, and Cam Jordan is back. They're still very talented. They've got linebacker Demario Davis, Brady. It's incredible, man. I've been around for, God, 25 years or more covering NFL, and you always hear the starting quarterback on a Wednesday or Thursday talk to the media, and when he's asked about the opposing defense, gives you a little bit of a stock answer, usually says they're pretty good, blah, blah, blah. Brady just starts mentioning name by name by name by name what he does, he's good, he's good, he's good. It's incredible on how much he studies an opponent, man. And when he mentioned Demario Davis, he even stopped, and he's like, he is one of the best, their linebacker. You got cornerback Marshawn Lattimore. Now, the Saints run defense, number one in the league in yards allowed. They only give up 3.66 yards per carry. The Saints run defense number six in the NFL in yards allowed. They're giving up about 95 yards per game. The Saints defense overall, number 11 in the NFL in yards allowed, giving up about 340 a game. Marcus Davenport is your sacks leader. He's got 5.5. He came back against the Jets. So Kamara, Armstead, the other DB, CJ Gardner, all back last Sunday. So on defense, this is a damn good defense, and they're healthy or getting healthy. The Saints do not have their wide receiver, kick returner Deontay Harris. He's been suspended. Oni Amada, their Saints defensive tackle, he's the guy to watch out for. He is their threat inside. He can get to the goat. He's very good at stopping the run. I noticed the last couple of games, Oni Amada has been moved a little bit outside. That was because, though, I think the Saints' defensive ends were hurt. Now they're healthy, and it's funny too. Sometimes you cannot go by just like looking up numbers. That's why there's so many analytic guys out there and numbers they watch off the internet. Sometimes if you look at it, he's only had a half sack, but he gets quarterback hits. So imperative for the Bucs offensive line. You get, once again, this is a damn good defense with the Saints. Keep giving the GOAT some time. All right, what have I seen? What have I seen this week at One Buck? Like it's Wednesday's a walkthrough. Very low key. Thursday, boom, they got their full practice. And then Friday, everything changed with the protocols. We're no longer able to ask, you know, be there and see these guys in person when they do interviews. It's back to Zoom. It's going to be like that. But again, you as a fan, you don't care about that. It was strange with Bradley Pinion, the punter. Here's a guy that was so good, right? He was great last year. Hell, I remember in the beginning of this, early in this season, he was like special teams player of the week, if I'm not mistaken. And they brought in Hoffrichter, number six. I think he played at South Carolina. I know he was a local product playing high school football in Tampa. And when you bring him in this late in the season, there's a reason. Now, I know that Pinion was listed on the injury report, but he also has been struggling of late. And when Hoffrichter showed up on Wednesday, Hoffrichter was working with the ones when they were doing the special teams drills, punting offense versus defense, and Pinion was standing over on the side. I forget, he was talking to somebody watching. Now, on Thursday when we were there, Pinion was the number one punter once again, but he was off. He had a punt that went like 25 yards and came back. Then he was punting, and I'm assuming he was trying to punt down like the sideline for the punt returners, and it was carrying over into the other field. It was like, it's almost like I can describe it when like a pitcher loses it a little bit and they can't find the plate, or you get the yips, or a second baseman, Steve Sachs. I'm dating myself. Who else? There was a couple of different, but there was a catcher a long time ago with the Mets, Mackie Sasser. He could not throw the ball back to the pitcher. I'm serious. He could fire it to second base. He could fire it to third, first. It was like a mental thing. I don't know. I'm wondering if that's it. So, the punter, everybody's important. Special teams is important, man. These games always come down to the wire. Something to keep an eye on, but I thought that was strange. Like, is he got the yips? I don't know. Crowd noise for this home game. Now, Bills Mafia was louder than Bucs fans. In the fourth quarter, Tom Brady could not hear. Now, I'm up in the press box. You can still hear, but it's closed by glass. You can't open. Where we sit, you can't open it. If you're a broadcaster doing the games, like with Martin Gramatica and the Spanish broadcast, or Gene Deckerhoff and Dave Moore, they can either open the window or keep it closed. I know for a fact Martin, and he gets cold anyway. He's oh my god, but it was cold in the press box, and he was like, "We got our window open." They like to hear the crowd sound, so it's kind of hard to get a judge of the crowd noise. But it sounded like, wow, that Bills fan base is loud. Well, when we got down in the hallway, down underneath, I go down at about 5 to 6 minutes to go in the game. You're down on the first floor. You're in the hallway there, and it's open. You can see out where the Bucs players come in and come out, and you can see, and you can hear the crowd noise. And a couple of other reporters were standing there to me, and then it went to overtime. It's like, damn, it sounds like Bills Mafia is louder than the Bucs. So this week at practice, I was talking to an NFL Network camera guy and sound man, and another reporter for, camera person. These guys were on the sideline. Now, NFL Network goes out with about 5 minutes to go in the game. Sarah Walsh has been the reporter. She wasn't doing an NFL game on Fox sideline. And they bring them out, a Buck staffer, and they bring them out, and then they give them a player to interview. Your NFL Network, same thing if it's ESPN, Darlington is there. They'll go out. They let them go out about 5-6 minutes to go. Well, they were out there for a long time because the game went into overtime. And they said that the Bills fans were louder, that Brady couldn't hear himself. And then the local photographer, the videographer that I talked to, he was on the sidelines the entire game. He's like, Bills fans were louder. Now, it's not like, look, Bucks fans are good. They support. Arians was asked about that. And he's like, nah, man, it's great to have the home field advantage. I don't think you're going to see that. That there's Saints fans are going to be louder for this game. I really don't. Now, I'm at every game. I've been every game for the last couple of years. Yeah, you're going to see Saints fans. Who dat nation? But it ain't like Bills Mafia. And I guess Bucks fans are selling their tickets to Bills Mafia or like Bears or when the Cowboys came here because they can get so much for that one game and they can pay for a lot of their season. It's just how it is. Just how it is. Just saying it. But that's not going to be a factor. And once again, like this week that it was last week for Brady in the offense, and they pump in the crowd noise at every Bucks practice. Not the walkthrough, but on Thursdays and Fridays. And it's loud for home games when they're playing a home game. And we were debating this in the media room. I don't think there's another NFL team, especially a team coming off a Super Bowl and with the GOAT and in first place, where you have that many opposing fans. But it's where we live. Look, if you're in Buffalo, oh my God, how cold is it up there? And it's still in the 80s here, you know? And I got into it on my other podcast, The Rock Stops Here, this coming week. On one of the media members went back to a hotel. And there was Bill's Mafia out in the hotel parking lot in the dark, not with a table, but sitting there partying. And they're like, man, the Bills lost. It's late. It's on a Sunday night. You guys are still tailgating here in the hotel parking lot? And the dude is like, look, we can't do this up in Buffalo. It's so freaking cold right now. So we're going to take advantage of this weather. And yes, we are going to sit outside because it's like summer-like conditions. But anyway, that's a little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff. Brady still, you know, works hard. You know, I can go on and on. His records are just incredible. Arians thinks that his records, the majority of the GOAT's records, are never going to be broken. And Richard Sherman this week was asked, you know, what have you noticed about Brady that maybe you didn't know? And he goes, he's human. He's freaking human. Let me just give you one stat and then I'm moving on. Because we all know of the deal, what Brady has brought to this organization. Brady's completions, 7,156. 7,156 completions are more than Dan Marino and Terry Bradshaw combined and double what Joe Montana did or had. And when you talk about the greatest quarterbacks of all time, Does Montana's name not always come up? Marino, Bradshaw, Brady is blowing them all away. So I expect the GOAT to have another good one. All right. Buccaneers, couple of different numbers. Saints O-line, what do I want to get here? Let me see on time. I don't want to bore you guys. I want to, you know, I learned in broadcasting, you always want to leave them wanting more. You don't want to go overboard and bore. But the Saints broke. If you're not aware, you just saw like the little bit of the highlights. Maybe the Saints finally broke a 5-game losing streak with that win. Trevor Siemian beat the Bucs in the Dome earlier this year. He stunk after that. There's been a thing where Buccaneers have been not very good when they go up against these backup quarterbacks. Now, I don't know if you could you consider Taysom Hill a quarterback? Yeah, if Jameis Winston beat him out, he is a backup. Now, Simeon, he stunk after that. The next four games Simeon started were all losses. Taysom Hill was out with a concussion. He had plantar fasciitis, whatever you call it. I've had it. He missed four games. That's not a factor. He was running around fine in this last game. He's got a finger injury on his throwing hand. He was a starter in the loss at Jerry's World. He's got, it looks like he's running fairly well with the speed. He can break tackles. He's finding success running the football. In the last two games, 174 yards rushing and two touchdowns. All right. The Saints O-line, they've mixed and matched. They've been decent. They're 12th in the NFL in sacks allowed, 14th in rushing yards per game. Saints are number two in the red zone, 66% TD percentage. So Alvin Kamara is their guy. You got Ingram. Taysom Hill's going to be running it all over the place. But you know what? It's been a crazy year for the Saints. They were displaced because of the hurricane. Remember that. Now they've been hit. You know, they were hit by injuries. Taysom Hill is your guy. You don't have Sean Payton calling the plays. This is a Bucs team that they're very well aware of how they have not looked good against the Saints, and they've turned it over. That's when Arian says they're going to come down and don't turn it over. And I'm expecting the Buccaneers to clinch the NFC South Sunday night here at Raymond James Stadium for this game. I'll be very, 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 very surprised. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to come down to the end. These games always do, these rivalry games. Now, if the Bucs win, they clinch. The Saints, if they lose, they would be five games back. There's only three regular season games left, so you do the math. For the NFC right now, it's the Packers and the Bucks and the Cardinals all at 10-3. Aaron Rodgers beat the Bears. Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears. Aaron Rodgers is looking to get the MVP. Brady is looking to get the MVP. After the Packers and the Bucks and the Cardinals, you got the Cowboys at 9-4, you got the Rams at 9-4, you got the 49ers at 7-6, and you got Washington at 6-7. The Bucks are really looking for that number one seed. If you get the number one seed, you get a first round bye. That is stinking huge. If they don't get that first round bye, then they really want that second seed. Because if you win your first playoff game, then that second seed will get another home game in the beautiful weather in the confines of Raymond James Stadium. So it's big. It's big. And I'm going to end on this, the Byron Leftwich deal. So we all know the story with the Jacksonville Jaguars firing Urban Meyer, Urban Liar, at for cause. I could do a whole podcast on that, but this is Bucks Kickoff. Is Byron Leftwich a candidate? Yes, he is. He is young. He was a quarterback not that long ago. He has done a very good job. A lot of people were hitting me up like, hey, anybody could do a good job with the GOAT. Maybe, 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 but he's done it. He's done it very, very good. Brady and he worked together very, very well. He did get his feet wet as the quarterback's coach and then was made the interim OC with the Arizona Cardinals and Josh Rosen. Now, the Josh Rosen first-round pick that year did not work. Did not work. But how much of that is Josh Rosen, the chosen Rosen? What is Josh Rosen? Josh Rosen's done, right? You think Josh Rosen's ever going to get a shot again as a starting quarterback? He's done. So how much of that is Josh Rosen? The talent evaluators did not do a good job. There were some questions on his work ethic and the silver spoon and all that. Or how much of it was that Leftwich was just getting his feet wet and he was young and he really didn't do a good job. But it did not work. And basically what's happening is, now we asked him, it was Kevin O'Donnell of Fox 13. And it was right after the news broke the next day, after the Jacksonville Jaguars had the opening for the head coach, they fired Urban Meyer. And Leftwich, if you look on some of these betting sites, Leftwich is like number one as far as betting with the odds to be the next head coach in Jacksonville. He can be as low as number four, number five, but he's up there, okay? And how it works is, it is, I believe, I think it's the first week of January where coaches, there's a two-week window. I know it's a week, and it could be 2 weeks to interview. They can interview. So there's a very good chance that he will interview. Now, I found out from Inside One Buck that Leftwich's agent did not try to get him a head coaching job at all this past off season. That's either Leftwich was just very content and wanted to build and pad his resume a little bit more because it was 1 year where they won the Super Bowl and he was the offensive coordinator and the play caller for the GOAT. He wanted to see, to show a little bit more, or he's just happy. He's just happy right now being behind Brady. No rush. You know the GOAT's going to have enough. If he's playing, he's going to do good. It's a stock team. Everybody came back. But that's what I was told and learned, that he didn't even try for any of these openings at all. Or the agent just kind of spread the word. Nah, he's not looking. Now, that may change now. You know, we'll see. But he does his normal walking with his couple of laps before practice, and we're all taking video of him, and he does the same thing. All the coaches, they're superstitious, just like Wade Boggs with the chicken. But football players are just as superstitious. I see their patterns, and they do the same thing before every practice. Mostly, they're the same spot they go to, the same stretching, the same routine. And when it was time for him to meet the media, I was surprised the question didn't even come sooner. But it was at the end of his session, and I was going to ask it. O'Donnell jumped in, and he said, Byron, we want to ask you about the head coach opening at Jacksonville. And he just got up, and he grinned, and he just walked away. And it was Tukes, the cameraman for the videographer for Channel 13, or O'Donnell said something like, oh, you're not going to answer that? I think we might have an O'Donnell follow. And he just grinned. He kept on walking. He wasn't going to answer it at all. So it's for another day. This is Bucks kickoff for this Bucks Saints preview. But you got to think about it. If he does get that gig in Jacksonville and the GOAT does not retire and comes back, what would Arians do? You think at 70 years old, he would go back to the game by game calling every play? What about Clyde Christensen? How much has he called plays? I know he's been a QB coach. I know he's been the OC. He certainly works with Brady all the time. I don't know if you'd bring in somebody new like that. But anyway, you know what? That is for another day, but it's in the news, and it's something to think about, and it's in front of us. All right, without further ado, like I say at the end of every Bucks kickoff podcast, let's just enjoy every single second of this. They're one of the top teams in the NFL. They're looking to repeat. They're 10-3. They're looking to clinch, and I believe that they will clinch this game. They're going to beat the Saints. They're going to beat the Saints, and there's going to be a party and a celebration after this game at Raymond James Stadium. So you enjoy this, and wherever you are, Buccaneer fans, let's go. We'll see you. I'll talk to you next week, 24 hours before every Buccaneer kickoff. This is Bucks Kickoff. Thank you to Joe Bucks Fan and to Bill Curry Ford.